Good evening, everyone. Happy Sunday. This is Deidre, and I'm filling in for Corinne this evening, who has taken her husband to see Mythbusters, I believe is what she said as a birthday gift. So she asked me to facilitate the call for this evening, which I'm always happy to do. I love spending time with all of you. And so just before I give out the page numbers, we're going to just hand our time over to Holy Spirit. Just taking a few moments in silence and stillness, dropping into that loving space, allowing whatever comes out of tonight's session to be completely divinely guided. We know that if we need a word or a thought or a tranquil open mind, these are the things that the Holy Spirit gives. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, knowing that your direction gives us peace. Asking the Holy Spirit to be in charge of our shared learning tonight and the beautiful time that we get to spend together. Thank you, and so it is. So I'm going to just briefly give our page numbers. So in the Sparkle edition, it's page 375, and we're beginning with the paragraph, "You who believe that sacrifice is love must learn that sacrifice is separation from love." And that corresponds to the original edition, chapter 15, part 11, paragraph 104. And in the FIP edition, it's chapter 15, part 11, paragraph 4. So I'll just get to my spot here. So you who believe that sacrifice is love must learn that sacrifice is separation from love. For sacrifice brings guilt as surely as love brings peace. Guilt is the condition of sacrifice as peace is the condition for the awareness of your relationship with God. Through guilt, you exclude your father and your brothers from yourself. Through peace, you invite them back and realize that they are where your intentions back. So, oh, sorry, I messed that up. Hang on, I'm going to start that again. All right, so you who believe that sacrifice is love must learn that sacrifice is separation from love. For sacrifice brings guilt as surely as love brings peace. Guilt is a condition of sacrifice as peace is a condition for the awareness of your relationship with God. Through guilt, you exclude your father and your brothers from yourself. Through peace, you invite them back and realize they are where your vision bids them be. What you exclude from yourself seems fearful, for you endowed it with fear and tried to cast it out, though it was part of you. Who can perceive part of himself as loathsome and live within himself in peace? And who can try to resolve the perceived conflict of heaven and hell in him by casting heaven out and giving it the attributes of hell without experiencing himself as incomplete and lonely? As long as you perceive the body as your reality, so long you will perceive yourself as lonely and deprived, And so long as you also perceive yourself as a victim of sacrifice, justified in sacrificing others, for who could thrust heaven and its creator aside without a sense of sacrifice and loss? And who could suffer sacrifice and loss without attempting to restore himself? Yet how could you accomplish this yourselves when the basis of your attempts is the belief in the reality of the deprivation? For the deprivation breaches attack, being of the belief that attack is justified. And as long as you would retain the deprivation, attack becomes salvation and sacrifice becomes love. And I'm going to pause there. So, I love what it says in the first paragraph that we read. Guilt is the condition of sacrifice, as peace is the condition for the awareness of your relationship with God. And we've all shared on many occasions that contrast. I think we can all relate to that contrast. And for me, the minute I feel that contrast, it's kind of like when I feel that awareness that I've stepped away from, you know, what I know to be peaceful, that contrast just helps me to remember to invite true perspective in. And I know I have an awareness that I'm not doing it. I just have a willingness to invite it in. And that just comes out for me in that first paragraph. So it says, peace is the condition for the awareness of your relationship with God. And that's definitely been the truth for me. And then the opposite as well. Through guilt, you exclude your father and your brothers from yourself. Because again, we're talking about separation, which really doesn't exist because we're all the same. Our brother is us and vice versa. Does anything come up for anybody else that they'd like to comment on?
Well, I like the, I was moved by the paragraph that, I was moved by what was really stating about peace and oneness.
Which part of the...
I don't have my book with me,
okay.
But as you were reading, actually it was in towards the beginning, and it was just like you said, the sentence about peace, and the sentence about us not being our body. That.
Oh right, okay. As long as we perceive the body as your reality. Long you will perceive yourself as lonely and deprived, and so long as you also perceive yourself as a victim of sacrifice, sacrifice is justified. Is that the part you meant?
Yeah, I really like that because recently I've been reading readings have been coming to me about not being identified with the body, and to not make that, not follow that misconception that we're identified with the body.
Mm.
So that really spoke to me.
Beautiful.
So, because we're living in two spaces. We're living in a space where through the body we live in this realm. But actually, we're not the body, and
right.
that is just very radical to be able to meditate on not being the body. Because a lot of problems start with the mind or the ego using the body, and then, you know, we're caught up in stories.
Right. Yeah, I think that's pretty much key in all stories, because if we get caught up in any kind of drama while we're experiencing form here, it's because we believe on some level that this reality, this world is real. And so we have to believe that we're a body, right?
Very well said. Very well said.
I found too, like, it's been coming up a lot lately for me in my life. Whenever I have little moments where I feel like I'm being pulled into a story or pulled into drama anywhere or conflict,
mm-hmm.
I look, like, I ask myself, where could I be more loving of myself where I am right now? Where could I be more loving? Because usually it means in some area of my life I've got attack thoughts, and I might not have observed them. So it's just something that I've been working with lately, and it seems to be helping me. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah, because a lot of times we can, you know, attack our bodies or attack, you know, our thoughts and think, you know, I should be doing better than I am, or I should fix this or improve that. And that's all ego script too, Taz script.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that we need to fix and change, and that part of our minds doesn't want to wake up to the awareness that we can accept where we are exactly right now perfectly, and understand that we're doing the best we can at every given moment. And the ego doesn't like that script at all. But the moment I'm willing to go there and have compassion towards myself, I can then, in that same breath, because there is no you and me, there's only the one.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm being compassionate with myself, I'm being compassionate with everyone. And vice versa, if I'm being compassionate with a brother, I'm being compassionate with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just helpful to remember that, because we've made this dream really real for ourselves, and we've bought into the stories of separation, but there isn't any.
Right.
Okay. So it is, in all your seeking for love, you seek for sacrifice and find it. Yet you find not love. It is impossible to deny what love is and still recognize it. The meaning of love lies in what you have cast outside yourself, and it has no meaning at all apart from you. It is what you prefer to keep that has no meaning, while all that you would keep away holds all the meaning of the universe and holds the universe together in its meaning. For unless the universe were joined in you, it would not be apart from God. And to be without him is to be without meaning. In the holy instant, the condition of love is met. For minds are joined without the body's interference. And when there is communication, there is peace. the Prince of Peace was born to reestablish the condition of love by teaching the communication remains unbroken, even if the body is destroyed, provided that you see not the body as the necessary means of communication. And if you understand this lesson, you will realize that to sacrifice the body is to sacrifice nothing. And communication, which must be of the mind, cannot be sacrificed. Where then is sacrifice? And I'll pause there. Beautiful. So that first sentence is basically, to me, saying that when it says, so it is that all you're seeking for love, you seek for sacrifice, because we don't understand what love really is. In fact, the Course is very clear in several different passages throughout that we're actually afraid of real love. Because we have but an inkling of what real unconditional love means. So we're afraid of it.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Mm-hmm, about love?
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the week, I don't know, it just came to me that pure love is so expansive that it wipes out every other emotion. So it's not that even love is an emotion, but pure love just floods over everything. So when we're functioning in pure love, we're just kind of being led by love and behaving in a way that is the epitome of love.
Yeah.
And there's not even any thought required. There's no thought, no judgment, no decision. Everything is just the catalyst of every action is love. And that love is just engulfs everything. And that's our grounded being, and that's the filter when we're actually functioning, when we're actually consumed by that love. And that love just includes everything.
Mm. Yeah, that's so beautiful, Meg. Thank you for sharing. And I loved how you said something to the effect, I think, of love is not an emotion. Mm-hmm. And that really spoke to me, too, because A Course in Miracles is teaching all the way through that love is all that is. So when we're experiencing anything other than pure and true unconditional love and acceptance, we've left the truth and we've ventured down into a story.
Mm. Mm.
I love
Wonderful.
That. Thank you.
Wonderful.
I want to give everyone else a chance to share if something has come up for them in these passages.
Well, you know, the one thing that gets me is the actual word sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess in the reading, and I went up a little before the section above where the chapter section begins,
mm-hmm.
and there really doesn't seem to be like a definition. Like, what would be your take on that, Deidre? How would you define sacrifice?
How would I define sacrifice?
Yeah.
For me, sacrifice implies a number of things. It implies guilt, definitely. Sacrifice implies that I have to give up something in order to be happy. So that instills the idea that, you know, God is like this punishing entity, right? That I have to sacrifice for and prove that I'm worthy to be lovable, you know? And none of that is of God, the way that, you know, God is spoke of. We don't have to sacrifice anything. And it's our, the separate mind that's created the idea that God is something that punishes and that we need to, you know, feel bad about that. And
yeah, it's
also
kind of
this idea, you know, that I'm going to lose something, that I'm going to lose part of myself in the sacrifice.
Right.
So I have to believe that I'm a separate entity to believe that sacrifice is possible.
Yeah, I'm starting to get it a little better now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, too, like sacrificing is like when we sacrifice our peace or feel like we should be guilty or something.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, totally makes sense.
Because I had that happen last week, and as you were reading this, I was like, oh my gosh, so what I was in, like I was just in this feeling that I had canceled plans with somebody, and it wasn't out of anything to be malicious. It was out of anxiety, and it didn't, you know, I felt bad about doing it after, and then the whole week I was thinking that this person was probably mad at me, and I felt guilty, like, and I just kept handing it over, and it just was really hard for me to let go. And then I think it was yesterday I got a text that said, oh, I hope you don't think I'm mad at you, because I'm not, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I just tortured myself for basically nothing. It was just the ego the whole week just having its way, and it was just a really big eye-opener. I was like, wow, I'm still doing it.
Thank you so
still
much
falling.
For sharing that. That's so beautiful that you're willing to, you know, open up in that way. Because we all have those moments. I had a moment last week that I was all, like, I was having anxiety about, like, this job I'd taken on, and we're in the process of, like, transferring their websites over, and I wanted it to go well. And then after I agreed to take on the contract, I was under the impression that both the clients' websites were done in WordPress, and one of them was a custom PHP site, which I don't work with. I'll just tell you straight out, like, I don't do custom PHP sites for people. And I had a couple of moments where I was like freaking out. Oh my God, like, I shouldn't have taken this job when I didn't know that, you know, there was a PHP website involved. Like, I want to do the best I can for the client. And I just, like, I spent probably a day feeling really bad about it. And then I realized I hadn't given it to spirit. Like, I had taken on this whole thing, and I was playing out, like, the worst possible scenarios in my head. Like, oh my God, they're going to be so upset with me, blah, blah, blah. And so I just gave it to spirit. And what has happened, what has transpired, is that we're going to leave the PHP website exactly the way it is. I'm going to do what I know how to do, which is all the coding and the customization and the branding for the WordPress stuff. We're going to do their social media campaigns and their newsletters. And I'm going to get my hosting company to do what needs to be done if there's anything on the PHP website. But in that mindset where I was, like, freaking out about it, I wasn't open to receiving, like, the help or the idea that everything was going to be okay. I was just concentrating on what I thought would go wrong, or, you know, like you said, will this person be mad at me?
Yeah, the voice can't get through when we're in that mode of just fear, you know, like, it just can't get through.
Yeah, so it's a good lesson that we do this to ourselves without knowing it. That's key, because if you just stay into the part where it's like, oh, I'm doing this to myself, you can then use that to feel bad about it. But if you just realize that we're doing this to ourselves without realizing it, because it's unconscious quantum guilt that we're dealing with, it's not something that we're even aware of, then it just makes it so much easier.
Yeah, and what you said earlier is so, so, so key, is the self-compassion piece.
Yeah.
Because that's another piece I forgot, and I'm always telling other people, I'm telling my clients and everyone, and, you know, that having that self-compassion, that it's, you know, we're not perfect, and it just takes time to undo it.
Right.
And that's okay.
Right. And it's, I think part of it also, too, is that the mind, the human mind, is so conditioned to plan everything out and knowing the details of how things are going to go, and, you know, how we want like a guarantee that everything is going to work out. But in situations like this one, doing this job, I'm really learning that it's okay that I don't have all the answers all the time. As long as I invite spirit in to help me, you know, it's not me that's doing anything. I'm allowing myself to be guided by spirit. And it's, the work is just to allow that to happen, and not on my timetable, but on spirit. So that's been pretty huge. So,
yeah.
Because we think that we have to know everything, you know, like, don't say yes to this until you're, like, fully prepared. But the truth is, you're never going to be fully prepared if you're waiting all the time to be ready to go. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
So it's like, knowing that you're safe and trusting that the help that you need will be provided for you. Just like with what you just shared, how the text message came with the awareness that there was nothing for you to worry about. You know,
yeah.
Everything was fine. So.
Yeah. It was all in my mind.
Yeah.
I know, I keep reminding Corinne sometimes, like, the amount of strength it takes to do that. Just the ability, you could call it positive thinking or just optimism, or just, to me, it's strength, because your mind can be very lazy.
Yeah.
With regard to the ego.
That's so true.
You know, we're all
yeah.
lazy. And on one hand, we're lazy, and then on the other hand, we expect perfection.
Yeah.
So that is so confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's this quote in the course that I love, and it's like, the ego is totally confused and totally confusing.
And I agree.
It's so true, because you're right. We have this dichotomy of, like, needing to have everything perfect, and yet, you know, there's this mind wandering that goes on. And again, I'm reminded of Corinne and how she always talks about having that compassion and the willingness to just be where you're at. And there were times, you know, before I was able to reach my peace with the job that I was doing, I was definitely not at peace. And I had people around me saying, you know, don't worry, it's all going to work out. But of course, when you're not in that space, somebody saying, don't worry, just makes you stress out more. So I had to really practice, you know, compassion and allow myself to be in anxiety. I had to allow myself to be exactly where I was in the anxiety and say, look, no, this is what I feel right now in this moment. And it's okay that I feel this way. And it's actually the compassion that I allowed myself to be in that anxiety is what brought me to the peace. It's a weird thing, but somehow just sitting and allowing myself to feel the anxiety is what brought me to the stillness and the peace and the awareness that everything would be okay.
Amazing.
So,
and you know, a lot of the background on self-compassion, you know, there's one author, her name is Kristen Neff, and she's written about self-compassion, and part of it is just what you were saying, Deidre, is just acknowledging it and sometimes saying it, like, this is a moment of stress. This is difficult right now, right? And you say it. You just say it.
That's awesome, Brian. I love that. Who wrote that book, did you say?
Yeah, her name, it's Kristen Neff. Her last name is N-E-F-F. And
okay.
she's on the Sounds True, you know, Tammy Simon et al. She has that publishing company.
Yeah.
Sounds True. And Kristen is on the, actually, it's called, what is that called? Self-Acceptance Project.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of free videos out there. It's on SoundsTrue.com, and there's about 20 or so PhDs and psychologists and different types of people, and she's one of them. And Tammy actually does the interview on self-compassion.
Beautiful. I love it.
And then one of the big key things is the being able to verbalize it, just to accept it and verbalize it, and then move on from there, just like you were saying. That's what kind of brought that to memory for me.
I've noticed in my practice, like, as soon as I'm willing to say this is where I'm at, like, instead of fighting it and saying, like, don't be in this space where you're at, as soon as I'm willing to say, no, this is what I'm feeling right now in this moment, and I actually have been saying it out loud. So I did say it out loud. And as soon as I do that, it's like I've outed it. I've outed it, and it doesn't have the power that it had when it was just swimming around in my mind.
Yeah.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So.
And then one thing there that just comes to mind is something about the ego that, you know, you can't see the future. I mean, you can think about it, but you really can't. But you can remember the past. And I know we've had discussions about the past and whether or not it really exists. That's a, you know, another philosophical discussion. But there's something about the ego that focuses in the past about things that you encountered, many of them, some of them stressful or decision-oriented, and kind of looking back and saying, you know, why didn't I do this or why didn't I do that? And that can be torture, you know?
It is torture.
It is.
I would say.
It's crazy.
Crazy, man.
Of course, talks about that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what I do, what I've been practicing, I try to spend a little bit of time each day practicing it. When things are quiet, I sit with the intent of abiding in my perfection.
Mm.
So what that actually does is it strengthens the concept of perfection, but it strengthens my belief or my acceptance of perfection, of my perfection. And it's easy to do it when there's nothing going on and you're not being tested by the ego.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not thinking about the past or the future. You're just sitting in silence, resting in your perfection. And what happens, I find that I can, each day, I can increase that, not deliberately increase it, but it just naturally, that span of time just increases a little each day. So during the day, when I might conflicts or worries or whatever comes up for me during the day, I experience those things, just like you said, Deidre, and I just let them be. I don't try to force them. But then I also am secure and comforted in the fact that I've also sat and abided in perfection a part of my day.
I love that. I love it because it's a way of honoring the truth of what you are and choosing to do that on a daily basis. That's amazing. I'll just briefly share, too, part of this project that I've been working on with a business partner has involved moving from an old web host to a new one. And some things came up during the course of the move where there have been some technical issues with the previous host, the old host that the client is with, and they're switching to a new host that I'm sort of affiliated with. And so the old host, my business partner and I had spent some time talking to these people, trying to locate some missing files, basically, is what it boiled down to. And we were both feeling like, you know, it was our responsibility to sort of come up with an answer for this, these missing files, and that there must be a way to recover them. And in the process of, you know, continually giving over to Spirit and going back and forth with the client, we discovered that the previous hosting company had made a mistake and deleted these files unbeknownst to the client, like way before we even took on the contract in like last January. So this whole time we were thinking, you know, maybe we did something wrong. Maybe there's something that we can do to ask the right questions to get these files returned, you know. And so in other words, given light that we were making ourselves guilty for things that weren't, you know, we had no control over. So again, it's right. This idea that we still have unconscious guilt or an idea that we are guilty in some way. And that right. That whole experience was really, really interesting because I was able to really look at it and say, wait a minute, there are no accidents here. Really? The course says a happy outcome to all things is sure, no matter what the picture looks like.
I love that.
And so in the course of remembering that, and the client actually helped me remember that, it was like this beautiful experience to show me that in many ways, we're still looking for ways to make ourselves guilty. We're not realizing that we're doing it. It's unconscious guilt.
Mm.
So I just wanted to share that little piece because I thought it was quite powerful. Because in the whole process of it, I really learned that, no, I'm not responsible for anything that has occurred. But this whole experience presented itself for me to be able to look at the ways I'm still willing to, you know, let myself take responsibility for everything and, you know, carry that blame and carry that with me. So I wanted to share that because it, you know, it unfolded so beautifully. You know, we were praying the whole way along for, you know, the most loving possible solution, and it was provided for us. And the thing is, you don't always see the whole staircase on the way. You only see little steps at a time. but it's just
that's
remember.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
So let's read a little bit more. The lesson I was born to teach and still would teach to all my brothers is that sacrifice is nowhere and love is everywhere. For communication embraces everything, and in the peace it reestablishes love comes of itself. Let no despair darken the joy of Christmas, for the time of Christ is meaningless apart from joy. Let us join in celebrating peace by demanding no sacrifice of anyone, for so will you offer one the love I offer you. What can be more joyous than to perceive we are deprived of nothing? Such is the message of the time of Christ, which I give you, then you may give it and return it to the Father who gave it to me. For in the time of Christ, communication is restored. He joins us in celebration of his Son's creation. God offers thanks to the Holy Host who would receive him and let him enter and abide where he would be. And by your welcome does he welcome you unto himself. For what is contained in you who welcomed him is returned to him. And we but celebrate his wholeness as we welcome him into ourselves. Those who receive the Father are one with him, being host to him who created them. And by allowing him to enter, the remembrance of the Father enters with him. And with him, they remember the only relationship they ever had and ever want to have, in caps. And I'll pause there. I love that first sentence. Is just so gorgeous. The lesson I was born to teach and still would teach to all my brothers is that sacrifice is nowhere and love is everywhere. For communication embraces everything.
Wow. Love is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Anything coming up for anybody you want to share?
Yeah, just willingness. I think, you know, it is everywhere, but it's the willingness that you, the motivation that says, let me recognize that, you know, let me see. Don't let me doubt it. Let me believe it.
But if you have those moments where you doubt, that's okay too. It's that's part of willingness, is to just let yourself be where you are. I'm reminded of Corinne on the call too often. You know, she'll say it's that just that tiny bit of willingness. And if it's not, if you don't feel like you have that tiny bit of willingness, then are you willing to be willing? And if you don't, you're not quite there, are you willing to be willing to be willing?
Yeah.
And that's all it takes, you know? So it's, we're
true.
So quick to get on that train of like, you know, I'm not doing enough and I'm not, and that's just going to keep that script of separation going.
Yep. Beautiful.
Yeah.
DJ, I like what you said about that's just going to keep the separation going.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so true. And it's so subtle, and it is that we don't even realize it. It's so subtle that we don't even realize that that's what's happening. We're keeping separation going.
Yeah, we don't realize it, and it's exactly like this paragraph is saying. Love embraces everything. So even the parts that we think look messy and aren't as pretty and aren't as perfect, love embraces all of that. So it's just like Paul was saying before about the compassion piece. It's just that willingness to be compassionate with ourselves and our brothers whom we know are also us. that you know, it's all one, and just to really practice whatever is going on, no matter what it looks like. You know, it could look pretty crappy at some point. You know, it could look, you know, we could have preconceived ideas about how it looks, but I find those are the some of the best times to be applying these principles, because we don't necessarily have the objectivity to understand, you know, how much we're growing and how much we're learning by moving through our experiences. But I do know that the more compassionate we're willing to be with anything that comes up, that's where love is. That's where love is.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So we have a few minutes left. Why don't we read this last paragraph here? God offers thanks to the Holy Host who would receive him and let him enter and abide where he would be. And by your welcome, does he welcome you in to himself? For what is contained in you who welcome him? I read this already, didn't I? Okay, I did. I forgive myself. So we'll just move down. Okay. This is the weekend in which a new year will be born from the time of Christ. I have perfect faith in you to do that you would accomplish. Nothing will be lacking, and you will make complete and not destroy. Say and understand this. I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released when I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I will your release, sorry, because I recognize that we will be released together. So will the year begin in joy and freedom. There is much to do, and we have been long delayed. Accept the holy instant as the year is born, and take your place so long left unfulfilled in the great awakening. Make this year different by making it all the same, and let all your relationships be made more holy for you. This is our will. Amen. Beautiful. And I think that's a perfect place to pause. Does anybody have any comments on that last little bit that we read? next week we'll be able to start a new section.
I guess, you know, there's always the chance, no matter when, that you can start, you can begin again, you know, and again, it's that optimism, the positive thought that, you know, accepting where you are now and that you can move forward. You know, it's a future view. Let all your relationships be made holy for you. Value, you know. Bring something to how you communicate. Look to the future. That's the optimism. That, and I don't know about you, but you get tired sometimes, you know, and it's that optimism, the willingness, that to me is everything.
I think for me, like whenever I do any kind of readings, from the Course about Christmas is whenever the Course mentions Christmas, I sometimes play this little game where I replace the word Christmas with now, because that's what I feel Jesus is really talking about. Because the Course says very plainly, Christmas is not a time, it's a state of mind. So that's an actual quote from the Course. So it's not like Christmas comes in December every year and that's when we celebrate it. Like, no, Christmas is a moment-to-moment decision. And it's not a future, like it's not a thing that's going to happen in the future. It's happening right now, because right now is all that we have, this moment right now, because the future hasn't happened yet. So like the idea of time is from, in the Course's perspective, there is no time.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
So all we have is right now. And I love what you started, you know, when you started your comment with Brian, is because it's just a reminder that every moment we have is a rebirth. So we can actually apply this to our lives right now. So this paragraph that it's talking about, this is the weekend in which a new year is born. So let Christ, you know, live in your heart right now. There's another quote from the Course that I think it's around the Easter reading, and it says, "Demonstrate that I did not die by, you know, showing that I live in you," kind of thing. I paraphrased a little bit, but that, again, to me, is another example of how, like, Jesus isn't talking about a specific time. It's that this awareness is already inside us. The Great Awakening is already here, and it's our moment-to-moment choices to, you know, tap into what's already inside us, that's the higher self, the true self. It's all here for us right now. So it says, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released. So it's like, it's already happened. I know that you will be released. So it's not like we're fighting for something to be released. It's a knowing that the releasement has already happened.
It's amazing. A little scary.
In the name of my freedom, I will your release. So again, it's something that's it's already happened. God wills us to be released from our guilt, our separation, our idea of separation. These are just ideas. And it's something that we're doing together as one consciousness.
And that is part of our perfection.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, it's definitely good stuff.
You know, in the name of my freedom, I will your release. In the name of, there again is another perfect example that the Course is giving of, like, there is no separation. We are all one being. So when we're willing to, you know, listen to the voice of spirit, the higher self, and see with loving perception, we are accepting the great awakening or the atonement for the collective. So no matter how small it might seem, like maybe you are in traffic and you decide not to, you know, curse and swear at the person in front of you for cutting you off or whatever it might be, you know. You choose not to resent someone on Facebook for saying something you think that they shouldn't have said or whatever it might be. And just be willing to give those little moments over to spirit and recognize that, you know, we're all one.
Yeah, it's powerful. Powerful.
Really,
and the other concept is not, you know, thinking you can always do this all yourself.
Right.
You know? Because we've talked about that a lot, too.
Yeah, it's just mind training and being gentle with yourself along the way, because the moment you jump into, you know, feeling bad or blaming yourself for not doing better or, you know, whatever that script is, you know, you've jumped off out of alignment with the truth again and you're veering off into some other scripted direction.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that we can choose a different way until you really start, you know, working that muscle. But
yeah,
it's there, and we do have the option to use it. So, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, I think that's a great place to end, unless anybody has anything that they want to add.
No, just a great, great session.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it was awesome. I love spending time with you all. And
yeah,
thanks for forgiving me for reading a paragraph twice. So, yeah. Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Deidre.
See you guys next week. Lots of love.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Same.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.